Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, November 19th, 2014. And Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs will be joining us in just a few short minutes right after the market report. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah.
Happy Tuesday. Happy trails.
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Happy Wednesday, Al. Just testing. I was testing you.
I get a lot of that. I get tested a lot, Melody. And so far, the results are inconclusive.
Is that right?
Suspicions high, but the results are inconclusive. So what can I say? Probably testing tomorrow, but...
Well, I'll tell you what, with gold today, I thought it was a strange day in trading today. We had basically two sell-offs in gold today, one earlier in the day. It bounded back, and then here late in trading, it sold off again. There's reports that it sold off the first time when it coincided with a poll with the Swiss about their Save Our Gold initiative, only had 38% of the voters in favor of them increasing their gold holdings to 20% of its assets. The market recovered quickly, but that was also about the same time that Obama had come out and announced the immigration. He's going to make this big announcement in Las Vegas, but it rebounded, and silver stayed fairly steady through that period of time. And then here in the last little bit of trade, you had gold drop down currently at 1390 at 1184, the low on the day. And it was hit strong this morning. The low on the day was 1175.
Yep.
Silver was down 0.6 at 1624. You have platinum down 19 at 1194, and palladium was down 9 at 767. The only other economic report today, the Federal Open Market Committee came out with their minutes, and you know, there was no surprises there, so shouldn't have had any impact much.
Well,
on
all
the
by
market.
Itself, if there's nothing surprising,
that's
for the market to move.
Maybe
up, maybe down. Plus, it's cold out. It's winter.
It's cold. It's winter.
It made a difference last year.
Oh, absolutely. It's
going to happen if it gets cold this winter. That'll be another reason for things to happen. We don't know if it's going to get cold or it's not going to get cold. But if it does get cold this winter, well, that'll be another excuse.
Yeah, but there was a report saying that Americans were they were in a very generous mood, much more than last year during the holiday season. But we'll get to that here after the market reports and after the first break. And the USDX today was up 0.09 at 87.68. Crude oil down 15 at 74.46. And the paper markets today, I didn't follow them today. The Dow ended pretty much flat, down 2 at 17,685. The NASDAQ down 26 at 46.75. S&P down 3 at 2,048. And the 10-year yield 0.03 to the upside, 2.35% on the yield. And, you know, all the big flurry is about Bill Cosby. That's amazing.
If he'd have known he could get this much publicity
at this age,
he would have been doing this years ago.
Well, he did do it years ago, and nobody.
Well, that's the allegations, but it wasn't publicized.
It was kept under the wraps. So, but we have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hello, Melody. Hello, Al. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. Well, what are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about this new reemergence of this Dr. Mom concept. I mean, you know, people of the 40s and 50s, you know, moms were at home more, and they were pretty much, you know, Dr. Moms for the most part for the minor stuff. And as we moved into, you know, the wonder drug era and more things in modern medicine, people started running to their doctors for just simple things like sniffles and, you know, sore throat. But now, and I think because of the emergence of the Affordable Care Act, we're seeing more families, especially moms, becoming more self-reliant. They're more interested in what's out there that's natural. And I think this is really interesting. And I found some research that even suggests that some of these stay-at-home mothers are actually physicians. They have put their careers on hold to be at home with their children, and they say even though they miss, you know, having, you know, the professionalism of a career, but they're happier being at home with their children. And that's just a natural instinct, I think, for women, is if you're going to have kids, they're happier if they're home with their kids. I think the hardest thing for a woman to do is to take a newborn and put the newborn in daycare for 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day. So I like this new trend that seems to be evolving, because women are sharing their knowledge all over the internet. They're finding amazing things that work, and they're, you know, tweeting it, they're putting it on Facebook, and news travels fast with these busy moms, because these stay-at-home moms aren't, you know, sitting on the couch. These are busy moms. They're hunting for valuable information that'll help their family be healthier, which I think is just great. So they're smart, and smart moms are, they have ingenuity, right, Al? Ingenuity, the mother of invention, right? And the internet.
That's what they say.
Yep. And the internet has allowed a lot of families to research solutions for, you know, some of the non-life threatening things like pink eye, fever, rashes, and things like that. So, what's happening is, the pediatrician isn't the first person moms are contacting. Moms are now have their own little network to reference, their friends, health books, Google, chiropractors, naturopaths, and, of course, if they know an herbalist like yours truly. So more moms are referencing those networks, and they're into the natural stuff. And they're educating themselves on what foods and products will help them. And the doctor now is the last resort. So I think this is a neat trend, a neat switch. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but back in September, I interviewed a couple, and this is kind of a nice, happy story, just because a couple decided, young couple with kids, they decided to change their lifestyle. So the wife was the instigator behind this, and she just said, you know, we're just going to throw out all the junk. We're going to get rid of everything with high fructose corn syrup in it. And she just went through and cleared the cupboards and the fridge. And her husband was, of course, you know, king of the grill, and he had to have some barbecue sauce. But a lot of the commercial barbecue sauce has high fructose corn syrup in it. So it forced him to make his own. So he just got, you know, creative one day, and he took some things out of the pantry, out of the fridge, and he mixed some things together. And he put it on the barbecue, and his wife, Beth, she was on my show, she says, you know, I took one bite and went, And she says, but by my second bite, I gave him a pencil and a piece of paper, and I said, write down what you did. And now they are...
And he knew?
He knew.
There's
what
some surprising things. I do some cooking on my own, and I guarantee you, once in a while, it's pretty decent. Other times, it's barely edible. But when it's good, I don't even remember what I put in there.
Well, obviously, he remembered. He's kind of his own, you know, little chef at the house. He and his wife, what happened was, is this was the birth of a organic, all-natural barbecue sauce called Out of the Park barbecue sauce. And this couple runs this company, the small mom-and-pop's company in Cary, North Carolina. And they have the regular and the hot and spicy, and they're getting it into stores. It's in, you know, some really great stores like Earth Fair and Whole Foods and things like that. So, you know, so just an organic shift. And these people, you know, just changed their whole lifestyle, changed their whole career base, basically. And now they're in charge of their destinies in more ways than one. So a lot of stay-home moms, you know, they're also looking for magazines that cater to their lifestyle, a lifestyle that represents them. So they're really not satisfied with all that Hollywood fashion stuff anymore. They're looking for practical solutions that help they can implement and that makes their family's life easier but also healthier. So she wants also to be able to pass on that knowledge. So she wants real information, real tools that will actually broaden her skill set, saves her time and money, and also gives her options to pursue some personal interests. So this is the modern family right now. It's not the stuff you see on TV, which is all shallow and perverted. You know, let's get away from that.
It's not just a situation comedy is what you're saying. It's real life, and people are trying to deal with it in a responsible way and personally responsible.
That's
you know,
right.
I can see one of the advantages of this, for example, if a mom is staying home and the child comes down with a little bit of symptoms, well, you're not going to be able to take that child immediately to the hospital unless it's an emergency. It's going to usually sit until tomorrow morning or whenever before the child gets to a doctor. But if you can access the internet, you can go up there and you know where you're looking and say, look, here's what's happening right now. And you may be able to get some advice to get a quicker response to the problem. Rather than waiting for a day or so to go see the doctor.
Well, and I think a lot of this is being spurred on with the Affordable Care Act changes to the health care, making things more expensive. Some people just don't have health care anymore. And a lot of these moms, especially ones that can afford to, the families that, you know, can afford to, even the ones that can't, you know, if they're used to the two double paycheck, what they're doing is they're trimming the fat, and they're doing without the cable, they're doing without the vacations, they're doing without this and that, so that mom can stay home and homeschool their kids.
I understand.
And they're growing gardens, and they're learning how to can the vegetables out of the family garden. And it becomes kind of like a school project, really. And so you've got this whole movement of self-reliance, and there's even classes now popping up everywhere. Like there's a little town west of Asheville in North Carolina now that advertises in the Electric Co-op magazine and also in the Earth Fair magazines that they teach homesteading classes. So you can go and you can learn how to, you know, can vegetables, and you can also learn how to be a blacksmith. I think this is so cool. And here's a question for you. Let's say you got some chickens. Okay, you're going to have a few chickens. You like some fresh eggs now and then, and maybe you want to have some chicken because without antibiotics and hormones, you know, free-range chickens. Well, I didn't know this. If you have chickens and you want to eat a chicken, you got to kill it before it's 6 months old, because after that, the meat's too tough.
Well, I wasn't aware of that, but I know you have to kill them before you eat them. I knew that much. I didn't know you had to kill them before they're 6 months old, though.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. Men are natural for this, you know, let's get proactive with our health, because, you know, men don't like to go to the doctor. 12% of men don't go to the doctor. They'd rather die first. 26% of women will put their doctor visits off. And this new virtual visit that's come out where you don't even have to go to the doctor's office, you could just get on your computer, you know, with your camera and Skype or whatever, you can have your visit with your doctor. But it still doesn't change the treatments they're offering, the drugs and the surgery, you know. And for preventable issues, that's not helping these people that are more self-reliant and wanting to have immunity that's lifelong, instead of having to take drugs for everything. So
has there been a response there? They've been able to tell that this Dr. Mom movement has grown enough where it's making a difference in the doctor's incomes?
Yeah, it's actually cut the doctor's office visits. This was before the Affordable mm-hmm. Care Act went into effect. Doctor's office visits were down by 50%. Yep. I know. And you know, this is the common stuff, you know. Obviously, people that get a kidney stone will be going and stuff that's, you know, more painful. But, you know, the other stuff, moms are doing it themselves for a few days first. And let me read you this quote by Lawrence Shea. He's a 36-year-old attorney from Randolph, Massachusetts. He says this: I don't go to the doctor other than for a real emergency because it's too time-consuming, and they rarely tell me anything I don't already know. End of quote.
Probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth of the matter is the information is out there. You talk about having a family doctor. I can remember when I was a kid, you mentioned about the 40s and 50s, we had house calls. I can remember the Dr. Gladstone coming to our house. He drove something like 20 miles to come to our house every winter when my sister and I came down with tonsillitis.
Yeah.
I saw him every... I don't know. It's just you can't do that. You don't really have, I don't think you really have family doctors anymore in the sense where the doctor really remembers you.
Right.
You may
go
to the same doctor all the time, but he's got so many patients, he doesn't know. Just give him a box of pills, bill him, and let's get out of here.
I know. It's like the doctor's bag he used to take with him on these house calls. Now you see them at flea markets. They're like an exhibit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but hey, let me tell you this. According to the Wall Street Journal, the halls of medicine, they realize this trend is, you know, kind of getting into their bottom line. They're trying to correct the shyness of men not wanting to go see their doctor. So they've launched some new advertising. You'll be seeing this. And the advertising is geared to actually scare men, or especially their wives, into making sure they get in to see their doctors on their regular appointments. So the public health officials feel that especially the aging men in general are in denial of their health risks. And so you're going to see a whole series of TV ads now that depict a man that maybe, you know, be house hunting with his wife, and all of a sudden he collapses, and the real estate agent's calling the ambulance, and then the message is...
That's when he heard the price, though. That was because he heard the price on the...
No, well, the message on the ad's going to be, had he gone to see his doctor, this wouldn't have happened, you know? And you know, this is just despicable. You know, obviously they think people just don't have any brains. People know when they have to go see the doctor. You know, they don't have to go see the doctor for everything. Obviously people are going to use common sense when they have some life-threatening issues. But so a guy, 40 years old, looking at a house, he has no life threat usually that he's going to drop dead of a heart attack then, unless, you know, he's had any indication prior to that. Most of them, you know, would actually have some symptoms that there's a problem. But anyway, get ready for
this. Well, it's another one of these things. If the wife can stay home,
right,
she's going to become more adept at using these internet resources. She's going to learn where she can, you know, first time she does this, it'll be a little bit strange. I don't know if she's going to sit there and say, I don't know if I can trust this. But after she gets associated with one or more websites and learns to trust these, say, yeah, these guys have, she's going to become more competent diagnosing problems, know if it's serious or not serious. I mean, this is a good thing. I think this is encouraging news.
I think so. And we what we did was we put together some new Dr. Mom icons on the PowerHerbs.com website to help guide people in their selections. And they also read a feedback from a lot of consumers that have used the products, too. So that will give them some guidance as well. So it's not just kind of shooting in the dark. Of course, I don't recommend they do that. And I always recommend people use common sense and be safe. But that's another indication that they'll have some guidelines for them at the PowerHerbs.com.
And thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Isn't that right?
That's correct, Al. That's our toll-free number, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. They can get a free product catalog. Our 15th anniversary catalog will be out probably around the end of the month.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Have a good week. All right, folks, we're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We're going to run a little special in Mint State 62, $10 Liberties. Not the Indian, but the Liberty. So you can have both of the $10 gold pieces minted prior to 1933. The $10 Liberty gold piece at Mint State 62. 2 will sell today at $755. That's $755 for Mid-State 62. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. The dates of these will be mixed dates prior to 1907, of course. And I was actually going through my inventory today, and I saw I was looking at these coins. A lot of nice mixed dates, very nice-looking coins. So give us a call. It's a great buy. We'll include shipping with that price at $755.
Okay, we got an article here from Reuters. Obama to ease immigration rules on millions of undocumented. Undocumented what, Melody? Undocumented workers, undocumented immigrants. What they're talking about, of course, is illegal aliens. Now, it's not politically correct to say they're illegal aliens because that implies that they're a bunch of criminals who have broken into this country illegally. And if they're criminals, then what can we say to the government that's going to legalize their presence here? The government is also criminals. So we'll just say we have an undocumented president and an undocumented Congress and an undocumented Senate and an undocumented court system that's going to perhaps allow illegal aliens to, or excuse me, undocumented migrants or workers to stay in this country.
Well, he's actually making the announcement on Thursday in Las Vegas. And tonight he is dining with the Democrats. And there will be no Republicans at this dinner. And well, certainly when you're making an executive order to the degree, you would think it would include.
Nah, he knows the
Republicans. I know it, but
he's going to get hammered on this, and he doesn't care.
But supposedly the plan is to admit the health benefits, but. You know,
it says here that U.S. President Barack Obama is poised to give relief from deportation to millions of undocumented immigrants who are parents of U.S. citizens. Now, that sounds on the face of it. A lot of people would look at that and say, well, how many people could there be who are here illegally who are parents of American of U.S. citizens? And the answer is anybody who's had a child in this country. We're not talking about we've got a child that's been in the in this country by accident or who knows how the child got here, and then the parents are down in Mexico and they'd like to come up and visit the child. No. The problem is that the United States, to the best of my knowledge, is unique in all the world insofar as the 14th Amendment goes, which says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. If any child, if two people come in here from Mars and they have a baby in the United States, the baby is automatically an American, a citizen of the United States. And what they're essentially saying, well, gee, you know, we can't break up families, which means if one illegal alien gets another illegal alien pregnant, guess what? They both get to stay, which means the incentive that Obama's creating is if you want to stay in this country, all you got to do is come up and have a baby. It's just what we need, not just more illegal aliens, but more illegal alien children. The 14th Amendment, however, is the central issue. 14th Amendment, incidentally, is also the same one that lays the foundation for abortion. All persons born or naturalized in this country, if you're not born, you're not yet a citizen of the United States, you don't enjoy civil rights, you can be exterminated while you're still in the womb. That's a function of the 14th Amendment because you are not yet born. It lays the foundation for abortion. A lot of bad news came out of the 14th Amendment, and what we're seeing here is you just sneak over the line. Woman sneaks into the United States, has a baby, she gets to stay, her husband gets to come. Right, he gets to come up here and he can stay too because he's a parent. Now all they're going to have to do is just sneak pregnant women into this country. And every time you sneak a pregnant woman in this country, as soon as she gives birth, the child is a U.S. citizen. She becomes a citizen and, or at least she's allowed to stay, and her spouse, who may be back in Guadalajara or someplace, then he gets to come up here too. That's the implication on this. It's infuriating to me. You know, there are people who murder people who have parents, right? there is, they don't want to divide up the family. That's one of the arguments. Don't want to divide up the family. All right, who says we have to divide up the family? You had a baby, you're Mexican citizen, take your baby and go home. You got family back home, go to your family. We don't want to divide your family. It's, oh, we have to protect the family. We have to let them live here. Jesus. It's going to destroy. I won't say it's going to destroy, but it's certainly going to compromise cultural values in this country. It's going to lead to less national cohesion and unity. Nothing good is going to come out of this. This is bad business, particularly given that the government is cooperating to bring illegal people illegally into this country. Huh? Your government is engaged in committing crimes. And they're saying, well, it's okay as long as there's some political justification for it. It's not okay. Somebody in government actually has to stand up and say, look, here's the law. We have to obey the law on allowing people to enter or not enter this country. And if no one wants to stand up for the law, why should we? What is my obligation to obey the law if the President of the United States and the Congress and the Senate and the federal courts, if they won't obey the law, why should I? Where's my obligation? And the answer is, my obligation is only to obey the law when there's somebody there with a gun or a club to make sure that I do. That's the implication. If the government wants to engage in criminality, they encourage the rest of us to do the same. One source who'd asked not to be identified said some details were not yet available on which parents of citizens or permanent residents would be included. The Obama administration, the source said, had been looking at options, including those parents who have been living in the United States for 5 years or 10 years or who knows, maybe 5 months or 5 days. We'll watch and see what Obama has to say. But he is going to come up with a crock of excrement where he's going to try to justify allowing people to break the law. And it is just incomprehensible to me that we could live in a society that sits back and say, well, that's okay. You know, I don't have to obey the law. Good. Don't have to obey the income tax laws either. Don't have to obey the seatbelt laws, and don't have to obey property tax laws. And what other laws don't we have to obey? It's all just craziness. So, yeah, here's another one. Here's another one that's of interest to me, at least. Gun sales surge ahead of jury's Ferguson decision. That's from the Associated Press. Some suburban St. Louis gun dealers have been doing brisk business, particularly among first-time buyers, as fearful residents await a grand jury decision on whether to indict the police officer who fatally shot Michael Brown. All right, and they're selling a lot of guns down in the vicinity of Ferguson and St. Louis. Now, if there are no riots in Ferguson, if the grand jury comes out and they refuse to indict the officer in this matter, and if there are no riots, will the principal reason be that the whole town has become an armed camp? On the other hand, if guns were outlawed in this country, would Ferguson be more likely to explode into riots if a grand jury verdict comes out that exonerates the police officer? And the point I'm trying to illustrate here is that everybody's got guns. And the fact that everyone has guns, and increasing numbers of people have guns, it has to deter people who think, hey, let's start a riot. Goodbye, let's throw some Molotov cocktails and burn some buildings to the ground. Better not. Might be some people in that building with a rifle. All right? They may put you down. So this is an illustration, from my perspective, of how valuable guns are. People behave better when their guns are on. Huh? When there aren't guns, we can riot, burn somebody's house to the ground. When there are guns, we can still protest and wave a little sign and the rest of that sort of thing. But you better not touch any of that gasoline or make a Molotov cocktail, or you may be packing, you know, some extra holes in your body from where you got shot. This is an example to my mind of why it's good, advisable, perhaps necessary for people that have guns in this country. It keeps us a lot more civilized. At least some of us, Melody. Do you feel more civilized? Or do you feel that your neighbors are going to be more civilized if you have guns?
Well, yeah. But you would think that they should be, but...
That's what it comes down to. Here's one that really interests me. This is from the Wealth Reporter. Fed employees roll out a bold idea to trap the entire country's wealth. They mean a Federal Reserve employees. That's who they're referring to in the headline. Free market economists are not going to be happy about this. A major financial news source just published shocking details about a research report by two employees at the Federal Reserve Bank. The 36-page report applauds the use of capital controls in global markets. Right? Now, what do they mean by capital controls? I go down, let me scroll down on this. Capital controls are simply laws that regulate and restrict what you are allowed to do with your money by regulating the flow of cash in and out of a national economy. The laws define such things as where you can invest your cash and how you can allocate your assets. And we see evidence, the article creates or presents evidence of capital controls in other countries where you can only cash so much, you can only write checks for a certain amount of money, maximum per day. In some instances, you can't take money out of the bank. You go in and you apply for the money today and you can't get it out for a week. You can't move it for a week. These are capital controls, but the reason for capital controls, in my opinion, is this. We've talked about this on the program a time or two in the past. In the past, when we had gold and silver for money, that gold and silver isn't easily moved around. And it's especially not easy to move from this country to Europe or to Asia because you've got to put it on a boat and hope the boat doesn't sink while it's crossing the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. When we had a pure gold and silver-based monetary system, it was hard to move money out of the country. And therefore, the Federal Reserve, central banks, the government, they could control the economy to some extent by two means. And one of them is by printing more money, all right, when we at least more, that's absolutely true when we have a fiat economy. You print more money, you inflate. In theory, it stimulates the economy and people buy more, spend more, borrow more. The economy becomes stimulated. They can also control, historically, they could control the money. The economy, excuse me, by changing the interest rates. If the interest rate was dramatically lowered, then creditors pretty much had to just take it. If the interest rate had been at 5%, the government and or the Federal Reserve decides to lower it to 1%, creditors are going to say, I don't want to lend my money for just 1%. But on the other hand, they have no choice other than to just sit on it. Because they can't move their money to a foreign market, a foreign jurisdiction that might be paying higher interest rates. Today, however, we have interest rates that are close to zero, and that is supposed to stimulate people, encourage people to borrow, and therefore spend, and therefore stimulate the economy, because they will be able to pay off their loans later on with cheaper dollars, thanks to inflation. That's the theory. But the reality is that when you lower the interest rate, the money is no longer trapped in this country. The Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean is no longer an impediment to moving digital currency from Chicago, Illinois to Bangkok, Thailand. All right? We can move our digital currency at the speed of light over the internet. And as soon as the government comes in and says, I know, let's cut the interest rate. The creditors say, I know, let's move our money to a foreign market that pays reasonable rates of return. And the net result is they lower interest rate and it actually reduces the supply of money in the economy. And when you reduce the supply, that doesn't stimulate inflation. It causes deflation, which causes the economy to slow even further and drop further into a recession or depression.
So why is it that they are now talking about using capital controls? They want capital controls, in my opinion, because they want to trap currency within the United States, for example, or within Europe, or within China, or within Japan. So the creditors can't run with take their money and run to foreign countries and markets that are paying fair rates of return. But until they get capital controls, their ability to control interest rates becomes, at best, counterproductive. They have lost a major tool. It hasn't been here for a considerable period of time, 15 years anyway. It hasn't been here where they can lower rates of interest and expect to stimulate the economy. If they lower rates of interest, it can actually slow the economy. And it leaves the Federal Reserve with less tools, less capacity control. It may even explain why the only thing the governments of the central banks of the world have been doing for the last decade is printing more currency. They can't prevent the flow of currency so all they can control. They can't use the interest rates meaningfully. All they can do is control the supply of fiat currency. So, capital controls to compensate for the fact that we have digital currency. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Here's an article from ContraCorner.com. This is David Stockman's website. Stockman was an economic advisor, I believe, during the Reagan administration, a congressman for a while, if I recall correctly. He's been at this for years, and he has a good idea what he's talking about. I mean, he's not a newcomer to any of these things that deal with economics and politics. He has been an insider. He's not right now, but he certainly was. And the headline on the article, or the title, is Why Washington's Fiscal Math Doesn't Work. 60% of households get more benefits than they pay in taxes. All right? Congressional Budget Office just released annual report, the distribution of household income and federal taxes, analyzing data through 2011. Now, that disturbs me a little bit. I don't understand why they couldn't analyze data at least through last year and perhaps even this far into this year, but they've only gone to 2011, which is a little disturbing. But nevertheless, they computed the average market income, average household transfer payments, that's how much money they're getting from the government, average federal taxes paid. They did a study on this, and what they discovered, that the bottom three quintiles, which is quintile is 20% of the population. The lowest 20%, people in poverty, plus the next lowest 20%, people in lower middle class, and the next 20%, you might say, is the middle class. It probably isn't exactly. But the bottom 60% of U.S. households are net recipients. They receive more in transfer payments from the government than they pay in federal taxes. The second highest quintile, that would be the, got 60% in the bottom, they get more than they pay in. The second highest, they basically break even. They pay in about as much as they get from the government. And the top 20% of American net payer households finance 100% of the transfer payments to the bottom 60% as almost 100% of the tax revenue collected to run the federal government. What they're saying here is that 60% are getting all of the lowest quintile receives $8,600 more than it pays in. The next lowest, you might say lower middle class, receives $12,500 more than they pay in on average in taxes. The third quintile receives $9,000 more than it pays in. The fourth quintile, they get $700 a year more than they pay in taxes. It's basically a wash. And the wealthiest 20%, they pay $46,500 per household more than they receive from the government. And the $46,500 that they pay is the money that is ultimately supporting the other 80% of the population, well, at least the lower 60%, and you'd say the lowest 60%. Now, the reason this is interesting is because we hear a lot of information about the inequitable distribution of income in this country. And the top 0.1% are getting rich at the expense of the rest of us. And that's, I don't doubt that the top, in relationship to the top 0.1%, I don't doubt that those complaints are real. But they are using that as an argument that may raise taxes on the top 10% or top 20%. And these people are already kicking in $46,000 a year more than they're getting out of the government. And we have to wonder about this. How far are we going to go? And who is going to be responsible for kicking in, for paying all of this tax money? Is it reasonable to raise taxes on the top 20% when they're already, on average, paying $46,000 per household more in taxes than they receive from the government? And what can we expect from this top 20% that are paying $46,000 a year more than they receive in benefits from government? Some of these people, when they figure this out and they realize, holy cow, we're being robbed. This isn't fair. This isn't reasonable. We can begin to expect a shift in politics where the wealthiest 20% of this country starts looking for a new home. And I don't mean that they're going to move to a foreign country. I mean, they're going to sit back and say, wait a second, we vote Republican and we vote Republican and we vote Republican, and all that happens is we are disproportionately taxed. They're going to either start leaning on the Republican Party to cut their taxes, or they're going to start looking for a third political party. They're going to look for somebody else who says, look, we've got to smooth this out. where people become responsible for their own prosperity. Individually, how much do you make? We'll learn to live on it. Now, I know that's not going to happen. I know that there are people in this country, and not a few people, a lot of people, who can't support themselves. And I know that the number is growing, and it's going to grow as industries install more and more robots. Jobs that used to be available for blue-collar workers are going to disappear. Even if the industries come back from foreign countries, they put the factory here, there won't be anybody at the factory other than the CEO and the guy, the guard on the gate, you know, for controlling deliveries. We're going to have a problem in this country, but how are we going to resolve this? People won't be able to get jobs. They are being replaced by technology and work they used to be able to get. If it didn't have to be smart, but as long as you were strong and willing to work, you can get a job. That's increasingly not true. You have to have more than just a willingness to work and physical strength to get a job. These people are being replaced by robots. What are we going to do with them? They're screaming. They want to live. On the other hand, we've got people in the top 20%. They're sitting back and they're going to start screaming and say, look, I want to live. I'm making 46 grand a year that I'm kicking in to support other people. I want to use most of that money for me and my family. What are we going to do with them? All of this points to a time approaching when we are going to see, and not far away, this, we're not talking about the distant future. This is going to be a real issue over the course of the next couple of presidential elections. We might not hear so much about it in 2016, but I doubt that we'll be able to get away from it in 2020. What are we going to do? How are we going to divide the income? And, I mean, this is not an easy situation. What is the obligation of the top 20% to support the lower 60%? Do they have a moral obligation to do so? Can they have a legal obligation to do so? And if we're going to get to a situation where the top 20% are basically carrying the other 80% of the population, do you want to be in the top 20%? Or do you want to be in the lower 60%, maybe lower 80%, where your needs are essentially provided by the government and subsidized? Are we all going to be on welfare, except the top 20%, 20% works, and the other 80% were on welfare? These are bizarre questions that we'll be forced to face over the course of the next decade. They'll be here for sure. And how will we answer them? And some of the answers are going to be, you know, certainly unpleasant, maybe horrific. There are going to be people that want to exterminate part of the population. There are going to be people who say, we got to get rid of all those dummies. And how are we going to resist those calls for extermination? Will we be able to? And will we be among, and which of us will be among the group of people that are scheduled for extermination, assuming we ever get to that point? You know, you look back, we talk about it on a regular basis, about the world has become a kind of, it's become increasingly a madhouse. We are operating according to principles that are unworkable, unsustainable. We can't quit these principles because the public believes in them. The public believes in them because they have had a poor education. They're not inclined to continue to educate themselves. A lot of people, and we're all inclined to think in terms of the values that we had in the 50s and the 60s, or even a century ago, or more. But are those values still conducive to freedom, liberty, prosperity? Are we caught in Are we caught by necessity in some sort of an environment where we're going to be, you know, it's like being on a lifeboat after the ship sank. And the lifeboat's only designed to hold 10 people, and we've got 20 people in the boat. It's going to make for some drama. There's going to be, you know, there's only enough water, there's only enough food for 10. We've got 20. What are we going to do? Are we going to stick together and try to make sure that all 20 people survive? Or shall we start to eject those who are the weakest? Throw them over the side, and they won't drink any more water, eat any more food. What are we going to do? You and I are in that boat, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. Here's another article from Michael Snyder. It's headlined, "If Everything Is Just Fine, Why Are So Many Really Smart People Forecasting Economic Disaster?" You get the thrust of the article is apparent in the headline. Jerome Levy, Forecasting Center, is forecasting 65% chance that there will be a global recession by the end of next year. John Hussman, billionaire, another expert, warning a financial disaster on the horizon. He believes we are experiencing a massive stock market bubble right now, and that stocks are apparently double the value of what they should be. And he's saying that historically, the corporate profits have been close, he says right now corporate profits are close to about 11% of gross domestic product. But he says that historically corporate profits have run about 5.5% of GDP. And he says this is a strong economic indicator, and we return to that 5.5% mark on a regular basis. It's been well established that that's where corporations typically operate. Right now, the corporations are getting 11% of gross domestic product. He said historically the number is about 5.5%, and that is a strong, strong average. It persists over decades and even centuries. And he says the only way we're going to get back to that 5.5% is we're going to have to cut the value of stocks in half. That's his argument. He thinks that the stock market is headed for a significant correction. Martin Armstrong foresees major economic problems in 2015 that will ultimately lead to civil unrest in 2016. He sees this turning into political instability within another 18, 24 months. What is truly frightening is that we have never come close to recovering from the last economic crisis. Government tells us we're having a recovery. Truth is, we're not doing as well as we were in 2006, 2007. We haven't made a recovery. We haven't had a collapse, but we haven't had a recovery either. Not really, not for the vast majority of the people. And that being the case, if we go into another problem, it just means that we'll be less able to deal with it. We don't have the same economic strength that we had in 2008 if we saw a similar crisis in this country. We wouldn't have the same resources to deal with it as we did in 2008. In 2008, we were able to prevent a collapse. Some people said we were within hours of the financial system collapsing and probably taking the whole economy down with it into some sort of a major depression. Within hours of it, according to some people's estimates. Some people said days, some people said hours. If it happens again, we aren't going to pull this off. Implication, we're headed for difficult times, and we certainly are. And this is, you know what I'm going to conclude here. You got to protect yourself. You have to prepare. You've got to be a prepper to some degree. You've got to be a doctor mom of the sort Wendy was talking about earlier in the program, and you're going to need some gold and some silver. I'm Alfred Adisk. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.